Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. That which was our second scripture reading this morning. Jeremiah chapter 31. And reading verse 3, Jeremiah 31, verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And our subject this morning is the everlasting love of God. Well, we come this morning to consider these wonderful and blessed words in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, lived around 600 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet Jeremiah. And he was a prophet, a preacher to the southern kingdom of Judah. We spoke about Elijah last week and how he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel, Israel in the north, but in the south there was the kingdom of Judah where Jerusalem was, and Jeremiah is a prophet to Judah, and he was a prophet in a time of great crisis in the kingdom. The Jews of Judah were about to face a great catastrophe. They would be overcome. They would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians, by the Babylonian Empire led by a great king called Nebuchadnezzar. And this would be a terrible time for the people. And Jeremiah, in his ministry, he would call the people, the Jews, to understand why this was happening to them, why God had allowed this. And he would urge them to learn the lessons. He would say to them, you must submit to this trial and to the lessons that the Lord is teaching you. And as you can imagine, this was not a popular message. The people wanted Jeremiah to say to them, don't worry, God is going to deliver you. God is going to save you. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. That's what they wanted Jeremiah to say to them. But he was actually saying, no, this trial is going to come. You have to learn the lessons of it. And this was very unpopular. And Jeremiah, in many places, he would often agonize over the things that he had to say. But of course, he had to say it. He was bringing a message from God, from the Lord. He couldn't alter it. He couldn't sugarcoat it. He couldn't change it. He wouldn't dare. This was the word of God. He was not saying what he wanted to say. He was appointed to declare the word of God. And that was how it was with all the prophets. They had to preach the word of God. This is, of course, how it is with all ministers and all pastors. God has given us a message to declare from his word, from the Bible, and we must declare it. We cannot change it. We cannot sugarcoat it. We have to declare it even if it makes us unpopular. That is the burden of every Christian minister. We have been raised up. We have been appointed to declare the word of God, and we cannot change it. That is what every Christian minister and pastor is called to do. That's what he ought to do. And that is what Jeremiah was doing to the kingdom of Judah, to the people, even though it was very difficult for him. But despite Jeremiah's unpopularity, the Lord, as we shall see this morning, the Lord also had very beautiful things to say through the ministry of the prophet Jeremiah, words of great hope, words of great comfort. And we consider such words this morning. And well, look at these words in verse 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee? And even just the first part of verse 4, again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. So these are wonderful words. Just very briefly to explain what is going on here. Well, God had made a covenant, a promise in time past to their forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. He had made a promise in the past. The Lord hath appeared of old in the past. And the promise was that Israel would not be forsaken. And there is, in these words, this assurance, God will not forsake his people. Yes, they would go into captivity. And yes, there would be a time of much weeping, but the Lord would restore them. I will build thee again. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. So yes, there will be a time of breaking down, but I will build thee again. This is the promise of the Lord to his people. And well, by the way, just to apply this very quickly, even to believers, what a wonderful promise that is. It wasn't just for the kingdom of Judah, but this is for all Christians. Perhaps there's somebody here who needs to hear this. The promise that even if we find ourselves in a very low place, in a very low state, even if we face great crisis, or if there is a great catastrophe in our lives, the Lord is able to build us again. This is his promise. He doesn't always remove us from trials, but if we fall, he will pick us back up again, just as he did with Judah, with Israel. So that's a wonderful part of the promise itself. But this morning, I want to speak of the love of God. These words, verse 3, they are focusing upon the love of God. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And what a tremendous theme to think upon this morning, the love of God. And we're going to take this verse just bit by bit, but I trust we will all be blessed and greatly edified and greatly encouraged as we consider these words this morning. So let us just take the first part of verse 3, or the first part of those words concerning love. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. Yea, I have loved thee. And our first heading really is God is love. God is love. Do we know that? Do we understand that? God is love. It's not just, and I say this very often, it's not just that God has love or God possesses love. God is love. So love is not something that is separate to God, as though you have God here and love here, and God just happens to have a lot of love in his heart. No, they are not separate. God is love. Love is God. That is how we are to understand it. There is no love outside of God. There isn't true love outside of God. You cannot experience true love without God. Just as in the same way, and we often say this, you cannot experience true life without God. True life, well, God is life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, remember what he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In other words, without Christ, without God, you don't really know what life is. You only have an imitation of life. You don't really know what true life is without God. Well, it's the same with love. You don't know what true love is without God, because God is love. God is life. God is love. You don't have either without God. So in this way, you cannot know what true life is without God. You cannot know what true love is without God. And of course, you could say you can't have one without the other. You know, some people say this is a worldly saying, if you don't mind me using it this morning. But some people will say to you, you have never truly lived if you have never truly loved. Some people will say that you've never truly lived If you've never truly loved, and what I say to you this morning is that you can't do either of those things without God. You cannot truly live, you cannot truly love without God. This is how it is presented to us when we read of those words, God is love. This is what it means. You cannot love without God, and you cannot live without God. Of course not. And God's love, of course, is reflected in the gospel. When we consider the gospel, as we do every morning here, every Lord's Day morning, well, the gospel shows forth the love of God to us. In so many ways, we can mention, we see the grace of God, for example, the grace of God. And one of the ways you can define the grace of God is that God's love is freely given to us, freely given to us, just like a parent's love for a child. A parent will freely love a child. The child doesn't have to pay anything to be loved by the parent. A child doesn't have to earn the love of a parent. The parent will love them freely, of course. This is how much the parent loves the child. It's a free love. This is the message of the gospel. It's the gospel of grace. We don't have to earn the salvation of God. God loves us freely. It speaks of his love, the gospel, grace. Just like a parent loves their child, God expresses his love toward us freely in the gospel that we read in the word of God. It's love that is freely given. It's unearned. It's the undeserved love, the undeserved love of God toward us. And the gospel also, or the Christian life, the Christian faith, and again we say this very often, it's all about a loving relationship. It's about a loving relationship. I was talking about this to somebody just last night, and it was such a joy to see that he had realized this. He realized that Christianity is not about going to church. It's not simply about going to church. It's not just about a church attendance or about giving money to the church or about serving in a church. It's about having a relationship with God, a loving relationship with God. That's what it's all about. We know him and we love him, and we love him willingly. These things, they're so important to understand. We love him willingly. A Christian loves God willingly. You know, love can never be forced. If love is ever forced, it's not really love. Love, by its very nature, always has to be willing. That is what true love is. You can't force somebody to love you. That's not actually love. Love is always willing if it is to be true love. And so a Christian, well, he willingly loves the Lord. There's no such thing as a forced Christian. A Christian willingly turns to the Lord, willingly chooses the Lord. He chooses to love God. And this is what Christianity is. It's a loving relationship. A man or a woman turns to the Lord and chooses to love him. The gospel speaks in every place, in every aspect, about love and true love. And so this is just to start off with as we consider these words. Yea, I have loved thee. God is love. But it's more than that. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. The love of God is everlasting. Well, we know that God himself is everlasting. We often say this, God is from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning, he has no end. Well, God's love is exactly the same. God's love has no beginning. When we love somebody or when we love something, our love always has a beginning. Even children's love for their parents begin when they are born. Or you begin to love your wife or your husband the moment you lay eyes on them. There's always a beginning to your love. But with the Lord, there is no beginning. His love is everlasting. There's no starting point with the Lord. His love is as everlasting as he is. And also it means everlasting. There is no end to the love of God. There's no beginning to the love of God. There is no end to the love of God. Again, this is so very different to the relationships we have in this world, in this life. The love of man is very often so temporary. One day people will love you, the next they will hate you. And relationships so often, they begin and then they fail. Husband and wife, they love each other on their wedding day, and then sadly it all peters out. It fades away. So often we see this. But the love of God is everlasting. It's unceasing. It will never end. It's unchanging. This is how different it is to the love that you will find in the world. God is love, and he loves us with an everlasting love. Once he sets his love upon you, it will never end, dear friends. This is so superior to the love that we find in this world, human love. This is everlasting love. And of course, it means that this love transcends this world. Even after this world, even after this life, you will be loved. Everlasting love. There is no end to this love. This relationship that you have with God will never end. After death, the love of God is still with you. In fact, once you die, well, you actually have a greater appreciation of the love of God as never before. In this life, we only have a deficient idea and concept of the love of God. It's when we die, when we go into eternity. If we belong to him, we will have that glorious view of God's love. We will know it as never before. Everlasting love. Dear friends, the love of this world amongst human beings cannot be compared to the love of God that is made known to us. It's the love of God toward us. So many more things I could say. Love for the soul. We say this so often. How often people will love you, perhaps just because of your looks, because you look nice, because of your body, the way your body looks, or maybe even just because of your status. Maybe you have a good job. Oh, I love this person. He has a lot of money. Dear friends, the Lord loves you in a far deeper way. He loves your soul. He loves your inward state, your character, your personality. He loves that. He wants to preserve your soul. He wants to save your soul. Dear friends, the love of man is so often superficial. It's just shallow. It's just what they see they love. God loves the soul. The soul is so precious in his sight. Dear friends, do you know him? Do you trust in him? Have you turned to him? Turn to the Lord, dear friends. Willingly turn to him and trust him. Now, of course, the great tragedy, and I have to say this as I always have to say this, the great tragedy is that so many will not turn to the Lord despite the wonderful things that we read in the Word of God. Why is that? Why do people not turn to the Lord? Well, rather than acknowledging the love of God, some people, and you will know this, they see God as hateful. Some people will tell you that's how they see God. God is hateful, and the Christian faith, the Christian religion, it's a religion of hate. Even though you have these words in the Bible, so many people, you go out into the world, they will tell you it's a religion of hate. Why do they tell you that? Well, one of the things they will say to you, well, because the Bible talks about sin. And preachers always talk about sin, like Jeremiah did, like Jeremiah had to. They talk about sin, and that's so unkind. It's so unkind. It's so hateful to say that I am a sinner. Dear friends, that is not hateful. It is not unkind. It is, in fact, what it is a further indication of God's love towards you. It's a further indication of his love. Because you see, let me put it to you in this way. Love always declares the truth. It always tells us the truth. Somebody who loves you sincerely will always tell you the truth. They will not lie to you. They wouldn't deceive you, even if it makes them unpopular. They won't lie to you. They love you too much. They will always tell you the truth, even if they are hated. And so this is what the Lord is doing to us. All he is doing, he is telling us the truth. He loves us with a perfect love. And so he will tell you the perfect truth about us, the truth about the world, the truth about man. And what is the truth about men? We are all sinners. That's the truth, dear friends. God will not lie to us. We are not good people. We are not all good doing good things. We're not all good at heart. We are a fallen human race. And we know this. Again, I often say this. You watch the news. And what is the news evidence of? It's evidence that we are a fallen, sinful human race. That's what the news is every day. It's that daily evidence. We know it in our own hearts when we examine ourselves. We have all sinned. We've all lied. We've all stolen. We've all coveted. We've all lusted. And we've all hated in our own hearts. We know this. Our conscience, even our own conscience within us, bears witness. You examine your own conscience. Ask your own conscience, what is the truth about me? Have I sinned or have I always done everything right? Even your conscience will tell you the truth about you. It won't lie. The truth about us is that we are sinners. So God is not going to lie to us. He loves us too much for that. He will tell us the truth about ourselves. We are all sinners, but here's the truth also. The Lord wants to heal us. You see, sin is a sickness. It's a curse upon the human race. The Lord wants to heal you of it. That's the measure of his love. He doesn't want to leave you in your sin. We have a picture of this, of course, don't we? In Christ and in his ministry, Christ, who is, of course, God, the second person of the triune Godhead, God in the flesh. When he walked on this earth, he healed people of all kinds of conditions. It was a sign of his great love. All those who came to him, he healed them. He didn't leave them in their sickness, he healed them. That's what the gospel does to us. We are sinners. And we all sin in many different ways. Some are full of lust, some are full of lying, some are full of aggression. It's a picture of all those kinds of diseases. But what does God want to do? He wants to heal us. He wants to heal us out of all of these things because of his love for us. And this is what the gospel is all about. We are sinners, but God calls us to him that we may be healed. Healed of our sin sickness, set free from all those sins that trouble us, that we cannot get rid of ourselves. And he wants to heal us and lead us to repentance. Dear friends, this is the great joy of the Christian faith. God heals us and brings us to repentance. There's a great change in us. There's a great change in us. Because we know the love of God. Well, you know it, even again in a worldly sense. When somebody falls in love, they never stay the same. Somebody meets someone that they love, they change. Most certainly, and everyone can see it. This person has changed because they've met somebody. That's what happens to a Christian. When they meet with the Lord, when they know his love and his healing, they change. That's repentance. They don't stay the same. And this is willing. This is because of the love of God working in their hearts. And these are glorious things, dear friends. This is the love of God. Why would you turn away from this? I have to make this application even now. Is there somebody here you turn away from these things? Dear friends, I urge you to reconsider. But let me come to my third point this morning. Yea, I have loved thee. God is love. With an everlasting love. God's love is everlasting. And the third point this morning, God's love draws us in. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. Dear friends, this is what draws us to God. Some people wonder, why are you drawn to the Christian faith? Why would anyone become a Christian? Because Christians, they have a hard time. Christians are so often mocked, and Christians are so often persecuted, and Christians are so often disliked. What could ever possibly draw anyone to Christianity? It's the love of God, dear friends. It's the love that is in the gospel. That's what draws us to the Lord, because we see his love and his kindness, and it draws us to himself like a piece of metal to a magnet. It draws us again. Well, I've already spoken about repentance, but you see, this is how it draws us. The love of God draws us away from this world increasingly. We don't want the things of the world anymore. We've seen God. We've seen the love of God. And it draws us away from worldly things. It draws us closer to himself. This is the love of God, how it draws us. And this is what the Lord wants. He wants us to be with him forever. He doesn't want us to belong to the world. You belong to me. You ought to be with me. Dear friends, again, I don't want to go over time, but if somebody loves you, they always want to be with you. They never try to avoid you. You know, sometimes even in your circle of friends, I remember when I was unsaved, even in your circle of friends, you would have people who didn't really want to spend time with you, who would sort of avoid you, even in your friends, even in your family circle. Somebody who loves you, they want you to always be with them. And this is the gospel. This is what God wants. What does God want? He wants you to always be with him. He draws you away from the world. Where is he taking you? To himself. He wants you to be with him forever in heaven. Everlasting love. That's what he wants. You belong to me. I want you to always be with me. That's how much I love you. This is the everlasting love of God. And there is a specific way, of course, in which the Lord has made that way to heaven. It's through Christ. Let me give the gospel application. How has God loved us? Well, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. That is the greatest act of love in the Bible. The greatest act of love of God toward us, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven to take upon himself the punishment for our sins. Dear friends, this is where we see the love of God. God the Son taking upon himself the wrath of God. You see, if there is one thing God hates, let me just add this. If there is one thing God hates, it is sin. God must punish sin because he's a holy God. But of course we read, but God so loved the world. He hates sin, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So yes, God hates sin, but he has made a way of love for all those who turn to him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All we need to do is turn to him and trust in him and know and understand Christ has died for me, for my sins. This is the love of God toward us. This is where it starts, when you realize God knows all about me. God knows all of my sins, all the things I've done, all the things I've thought, all of my secret sins, all of my hidden sins that I wouldn't let anybody know about me. He knows all of these things, and yet he has loved me still. And yet he sent his son to die for me still. He knows everything, the worst about me, and yet there is still love. There's no condemnation. This is the love of God. When you realize that, then all of your atheism, all of your doubt, all of your hatred melts away. Of course it must. Of course it should. This is the love of God toward us. This is what draws us to the Lord. It is his love. God has willingly sent his Son, and his Son, well, we read, don't we? He loved us. Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us. Dear friends, I'm out of time, but I close simply by saying this. I've already said it in a way, but if you turn away from God, if you dislike God, if you hate God, what are you actually hating? You're hating love, because God is love. It's such a nonsense. You hate love. If you hate God, if you turn away from God, that is what you are hating. You're hating love. That's an absolute absurdity. It's an absolute nonsense. It's an insanity. You hate love? Dear friends, you must reconsider. You must turn to the Lord. The Lord is offering you freely the greatest love in the world, the greatest love in the universe, the kindest love in the universe, everlasting love, love that transcends this life, love that you will know forevermore. This is the love of God toward us. Turn away from this world, willingly choose the Lord. And when you do, well, you will be blessed as never before. Your soul will be blessed, and he will draw you nearer and nearer to him until, well, at the end of your life, you will be truly lost in wonder, love, and praise. This is what God wants for you. These are the wonderful words that we read in the scriptures. It is foolishness to turn away from this. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. May the Lord make his love known to you, even this day.